Devlin, she is a real, real worker, my friend. And I want to tell you, this is when we started talking about it way back when. Mm-hmm. I don't think the folks on the other side thought that we had a shot. But now other folks have joined us, and it's really starting to work.
And Laura Devlin joins us. Laura, good morning. And a story popped up the other day, I noticed, in the Connecticut Post. Governor Malloy is now hitting the phones. I know he talked to a fellow I think you and I must know, Jim Cameron, and other people saying, hey, you know, what they're killing us out here with all this toll opposition.
That's right.
So it sounds like, Laura, they're starting to sweat a little bit here.
It sounds like the wheels might be coming off the bus a little bit.
Little bit, yeah. So do you sense, Laura, that some of your compadres there on the Democratic side are continuing to feel a lot of heat on this?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the impact of people contacting their legislators, the grassroots efforts by No Toll CT, the information that my partner Henry Martin and I, as ranking members of transportation, have been able to share, that, you know, really help inform the residents of the state about what's being talked about. I think it's all having an impact.
Well, I'll tell you, Laura, this is Brad. I'll tell you something right now. When we started talking about this on the radio, and other radio folks came on too, and you guys just took off, I said, here we go. Here we go, and what a job you've done.
Well, thank you. We thought from the beginning, with the committee stacked 23-13, we knew we wouldn't win this battle in the Capitol, that we had to hit the road and at least try to share the facts with the people of the state of Connecticut so that they were more informed. Now, keep in mind, this battle's by no means over, but we see some encouraging signs.
Laura, when push comes to shove on this, do you think that the toll advocates, many of the Democrats on the opposite side of the aisle, do you think they may keep their powder dry and try this again in another cycle? Or are they at the point now where they feel they just have to get a vote on this or not?
There is a lot of pressure to get a vote on this, and a lot of that is driven by Governor Malloy. Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go. No, actually, I think that was a Freudian slip. I like that. Ned Lamoy. We know who. Yeah, because they are kind of clones of each other. Yeah, but go ahead.
So a lot of it is driven by the governor, no doubt about it. This is important to him. So, you know, the pressure is not going to let up anytime near legislators. And you've all seen the piece in the Hartford Courant, where there are some very, you know, high-paid consultants who have banded together to try to push this through, and they will be pressuring legislators. So, you know, it's their time to stand up and represent the people who elected them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, again, I tell you, they're going to be in trouble, too, because the people that are out there, like yourself, and the folks that are on the radio side, and nobody thought this could ever happen, but you wait and see. I'm telling you right now, you wait and see.
And you know, Laura, a lot of people obviously, we can talk on this level because obviously you were around. Listen, back in the 91 scuffle over the state income tax, you know, Laura, that was kind of pre-internet. The internet didn't really kick in widely for another 2 or 3 years back then. So it was much harder, Laura, back then for people to band together, to get on social media, to arrange all these protests, for people to go online and research topics like state spending and where money goes. It's a whole different ballgame now. People, I think, anyway, Laura, are much better informed about this than they were about the income tax.
Big time.
I think they have the opportunity to be better informed about this. But, you know, people are busy working, living their lives.
Yeah.
They've got kids to take care of. They're staying attuned to the politics of our state and some of the things coming out of Hartford.
Yeah.
Not everybody is aware of the details. So we'll find somebody who is maybe doesn't think putting in tolls would be a big deal, or maybe it might be okay, but they do not understand what's really being talked about, and once they find out, they're like, oh, no, absolutely not. So there is the opportunity for people to be more informed. Yeah. But, it's, again, getting their attention.
Hey, Laura, finally, as the time is a little short here, you know, they started out with 83 gantries, right? And then the governor alluded to, well, maybe it'll only be 50. I always thought this was a big bait and switch. Do you think, is there a number of tolls that you think Governor Lamont and the toll proponents will settle for? Or if they have to go much lower, do you think they'd scrap it all together? Or would they take, you know, 20 gantries or 15 or 25 to start? What do you think?
So, good point to start, because it's a never-ending path, right? We can just install more and more.
Yeah.
But whether it was 82 or 53, and regardless if you get a 30% discount and another 20% for commuters, or maybe they're going to up that because they're not getting the interest that they had hoped, they still want $1 billion in revenue. That number has not changed, and that's the goal. So it's really a money grab on the state of Connecticut residents, where they can just turn the spigot and get more. And one of the bills, the House Democrat bill, not only includes the 53 gantries, but gives the Department of Transportation commissioner the ability, if deemed necessary, to go back to the 82, potentially go back to more than that.
Oh, so they might sign for 53, but then the DOT commissioner could say, we just need more.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nice. Yep. Nice. Wow. Laura, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. You bet.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.